Revelation chapter 2, first 7 verses. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In the chapter 1, verse 11, is the list of 7 churches in Asia as the addresses of the 7 messages brought to John by an angel of the King, the Son. All these messages are from the Heavenly Father. First 4 messages are in this chapter. In Acts and Epistles, we can read some information about some of these churches. Other churches are recorded only in the Revelation. The 2 last verses in John 20, 30 and 31 tell us about limited record of God's numberless deeds. This is a lesson. The prophets and the apostles have written the scriptures as the Holy Spirit led them. The written word of God is not hiding their humanity and is exposing to us our Lord's divinity. Every disciple experiences his or her own unique testimony. Comparing my testimony with the records of the Holy Spirit, I receive correction, protection, and assurance in my pilgrimage. I will never have second opportunity or obligation to live this life in the flesh. Our Lord's guidance is of enormous value. Every church received all the messages. A particular message for that church and more general messages were delivered. When we read the scriptures, we pray for our Lord's guidance to understand our instant personal need in our stewardship. In Acts 18:19, we see Paul witnessing to the Hebrews in an Ephesians synagogue. The hearers were interested in learning more, but the Lord led Paul to Antioch. Next minister in Ephesus was Apollos, a mighty, diligent preacher, open to learn. Paul's helpers Aquila and Priscilla, a very godly couple, assisted Apollos in absence of Paul. In Acts 19, verse 1 and on, Paul is back in Ephesus to pray for some disciples of John the Forerunner, and they received the miracle anointing of the Holy Spirit. Paul is witnessing some 3 months in Ephesus. The Lord created a new church, and Paul continued some 2 years in the gospel work. God granted many miracles. In the verse 13, we see the Lord exposing Judo-Gentile abuse of the true gospel. From the verse 18 and on, the darkness of Gentile superstitions is exposed by open confessions of the new disciples. In the verse 23, a massive plot against Paul's work erupted, but some Gentile friends were helping Paul. Ephesus was changing. In Acts 20:17, the last meeting of Paul with the elders of the church in Ephesus is opened, and some of the problems indicated here in the Revelation are foretold. Verse 38 is closing the meeting with great emotion, affection, and prayer. Paul departed. They have not seen him again down here. But the Lord's Spirit remained. Quality, and conglomerate of Ephesians fellowship was changing, but the Word of God remained the same in spite of many misinterpretations and misapplications of it. I suggest listening to the recordings on the Acts 18 through 20, 1 Corinthians 15 and 16, 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1 and 4, and the Epistle to the Ephesians before proceeding with the Revelation, to understand better the history of this church and its memo, the message. We are not given as much information concerning all the churches addressed in these two chapters as we have about the church in Ephesus. The available words to and about this church can help us understand God's messages to every church. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand. He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The Holy Spirit gave to John, through the angel, a letter for the church in Ephesus. Within this local church are some true, genuine disciples, hard laborers, to whom God gave the character and ability of an angel, God's messenger. There are some others claiming to be in Christ, but they are enslaved by satanic deception. False disciples could be sincerely wrong, or self-confident, intentional liars battling to promote false religion, seeking filthy lucre and satisfaction of their evil lusting, battling against nominal believers within a fellowship is not easy for the faithful. In an ongoing battle within the fellowship, the local fellowship, each faithful believer often experienced an inner struggle. The Lord is watching, guarding, protecting, and correcting His faithful. His guidance and correction keep us on the path of life. He holds the star of our message and testimony in His hand. We are safe relying on His grace and power. When we are in Christ and Christ is in our heart and daily walk, His light is shining through us. The true purpose of our pilgrimage is being fulfilled. Our Master, our reliance, is in our midst, and we see Him because He is in every heart of ours. He is our comfort, power, and the beginning of our everlasting joy. Verse 2, I know thy work, labor, and patience, how thou cannot bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Our Lord knows all we do, even all we think. This truth is both humbling and uplifting. Our enemy wants us to doubt our Lord's might and grace. The devil tries to make us ignorant of our Savior's presence and safekeeping. As long as we trust in the Lord, He is supplying all our needs. In Him we are strong to endure. These disciples were armed by work, labor, patience, and hate against evil. They were not indifferent toward the wickedness within the fellowship, but they did not rely on their perception and impressions. They tested the false teachers, comparing their deeds and teaching with Christ's gospel, and rebuked evil deeds. Apparently, these false teachers and deceivers were not pretending meekness. They boasted of being apostles. This craftiness was used by some deceived deceivers already in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 15, as it was foretold by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7, 15. In his farewell meeting with the elders of the Ephesians, Paul told them that this deception was coming. The Lord is pleased with the true believers confronting and defeating the false teaching. The spirit of darkness cannot stand in the true light. Acts 20:17-38, and John 3:19-20. Verse 3, Thou hast borne the burden of Christ's testimony with patience, for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Shallow converts hate bearing burdens for the gospel call. Bearing burdens of godliness in patience is a virtue of the faithful. Sincere followers of the Master labor for His name's sake with the power supplied by Him. They will not faint. They will not give up or surrender to the worldly trends. Did over 3 decades pass since Paul's farewell speech? The war is still raging. Are any of Paul's time elders still around? Is the goal and reward of the faithful ministry clearly in sight of the believers at this time? Is Christ's victory in their life? Verse 4, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What is this first love? I observed some denominations with the main goal of retaining relative tranquility among their membership. Status quo was paramount. Year after year they were drifting deeper into worldliness and away from the Lord. Their main motto was only to preserve what we received. They were constantly losing even that they received from the preceding leaders. Their church lost Christ when some of the members found in the scriptures our Lord's teaching the first disciples' pure gospel. Their leaders earnestly admonished them to follow their church tradition and not to be puffed up with their own understanding the word. The first love may be the love a convert first experienced for the Lord our Savior. Probably more reliable definition is that the first love is the kind and quality of love trusting, obeying, adoring Christ Jesus, and any other affection is for His sake. That kind of love is eager to learn, to grow in faith and knowledge of the Lord. That love labors and continues in prayer to multiply the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. That love adds to the fervent zeal sincere confession of many shortcomings. The worshippers having the first love are on the right-hand side in Matthew 25:33, and they wonder when and how they ever could have deserved the Lord's praise. The Lord did not rebuke Ephesians for any evil deeds, only for their first love loss. The loss of first love is evident by self-enforcement in doing deeds of love without love. All is hard. There is no sense of purpose, no looking forward to our King's return, no expectation of His ultimate triumph. No joy in Christ's Spirit's fellowship. Looking at all the praises the Lord gave to the Ephesians, I think they were not loveless yet. Only tired and having their vision of the Savior dimmed, not seeing results matching their great efforts. Did they remember Lazarus the beggar? Luke 16:20. How great was the love of the Lord in this brother's heart. The first love, the only love. In Christ's love we labor for His goal, His pleasure and His honor in awareness of His value. Our loss of first love is a message to the Lord, hopeless. It is also a message to the world, useless. It's a message to the fellow believers. Should not we quit? Loveless work is very sinful. It's a spiritual fall, crash. That first love is our unity with the Lord's Spirit, our comfort, encouragement, and joy. Verse 5, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Can I remember when, where, how, and why am I fallen? How did I arrive to the level and place where I am now? Do I remember the good old days, but do not remember anymore my sliding back? Or do I treasure many excuses and self-justifications? I'm admonished here to remember, to analyze self, my own heart and life, that is. I must search my heart and seek my Lord's deliverance. As soon as I embrace His good will for me, I will realize that all He is doing works for good to my soul. Any degree of stagnation is disobedience as big as the Lord whose calling I neglected. If I just don't feel like doing His will, I must do His will and pray for the proper attitude. Doing the first works means doing the works that deserve to be the first and the foremost, my Master's pleasing. His will is the only important goal for me. Every path starts with the first step. All the ways of sin lead to self-destruction. Repent means turn to opposing direction. Reject evil and obey the Lord Jesus. Intoxication by sin tends to dim the sense of time, and many sinners die lost in sin. If we get entangled with sin and the world, Satan will labor to replace our abandoned confidence in the Lord with the false support of the world. You are one of us. You belong to us. We gave you all you have, love, and depend on. Lie, satanic deception. Our lamp holder is in place and functional only when our Master's Spirit in truth shines in us and through us. A well-decorated church without Christ is dead corpse. Verse 6. Thou art doing right, hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Our Lord hates evil. He is against any violation of the Father's good pleasure. We are admonished to prefer one another in honor, Romans 12:10, not to gain our personal prestige, as the name Nicholas indicate. The Spirit speaks to all and always, every century, every church, every individual. The message of Christ's Spirit is clear and sound, and blessed are the hearers that hear and faithfully obey the bidding of the Master. The Spirit abhors puffing up, its satanic device and snare, first to Himself and afterward to all of His victims. Verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of God's paradise. Our ears and all the Lord has given us must be employed in our service. Christ gave Himself for our salvation, and we belong to Him alone. He created us for the Father's pleasure, and our soul is restless until we rest in His salvation, laboring in His Spirit to glorify the Son in whom the Father is perfectly glorified. Blessed is the man that gave up his own will to strive for the pleasure of the Master in the power of His Spirit. In Him alone we can have our victory, His victory in our heart, our mind, and our daily walk. That is the true victory in Christ. God's Word is revealing to us His paradise. When we obey His Word, His teaching, we see the Father in the Son,
the only true, living God in the midst of His universe and the center of all He created and saved. We see us in Him and Him in us. Then we are feeding on the tree of life. We are in His paradise, although we might be suffering in the flesh when He permits us to be His witnesses in persecution and martyrdom. We cannot now perceive the glory, beauty, and delight of heaven. What we experience as we journey toward His glory exceeds the limits of our ability to explain. Our soul can only dream, longing for the fullness of joy everlasting. Since His victory in our heart is so amazing, what will the full triumph be? I can never deserve the heavenly delight of feeding on the tree of life. The battle and the victory is His doing, yet it is the Father's good pleasure to reward His Son in me. Oh, the mystery of God's salvation in Christ, our Redeemer, Savior, and King. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive the others. For Thine are the kingdom, power, and glory forever.